Christian Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. I trust that you've all had a great time celebrating the National Day. And as you know, we have taken a break from our usual series on the book of Genesis and started a brand new series in light of the celebrations of National Day. We said in the previous week that we were looking at we celebrate the significance, the contribution, really the founding father of this nation. And yet we also said last week that in the midst of that, we also celebrate this man, Koo Tiong Koo, who was really a rickshaw puller, a driver, who saved LKY during the Japanese occupation. We used that as a jumping point to a series, a short series, a four-part series entitled The Power of One. Today, we continue that series. Last week, we looked at the book of Acts. We looked at the Ethiopian and Philip and how one person impacted another and that other person impacted a nation, if not an entire continent. But today, we look at yet another angle of this truth, and it takes two to see the power of one. It takes two sides. It was interesting that during the National Day celebrations, there was an interesting moment there where there was a story of an ex-convict, and there was a story of a nurse who was an AIDS provider, and there was a story of yet another man, a young man who was a rapper, and now he was sick. He had a debilitating disease, and he could no longer, but he was feeling hopeless. And it was an interesting take on the reality of the power of one. On the one hand, you have the idea of the stigma of the connectedness when people look at you and you have AIDS. On the other hand, there's the power of one caregiver who chooses to go beyond the stigma. In other words, there's two to see the power of one. You look at the rapper who was hopeless and couldn't walk anymore and couldn't sing anymore. And yet, because of family, and him seeing that there's hope, the ex-convict who lost his future basically because of the stigma of his crime, he could no longer move forward, and yet there was other people that moved him forward. In other words, the power of one is seen literally when we see two people seeing the power in that one individual. John chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, our text this morning, begins to say that Jesus had passed through Samaria. He was on his way to Galilee, and in that process, there's two ways to Galilee. There's the long cut, and there's the short cut. The short cut is through Samaria. Problem with Samaria is nobody likes going there because this is a nation that has this stigma. And the stigma is that this is a nation of half-breeds, a nation that had a leanings towards the people of Assyria, and not only had leanings towards them, but intermarried. These were Jews who intermarried with other races, and not just races, but the literal enemies of the Jewish people, in which case there was something connected to them. But yet Jesus decided that he would go through them. In fact, it says he had to pass. We don't really know the motivation for it, but the point is he had to. It may be that there were repairs on the road and there were other means or he needed to get there sooner than later. And that's why he had to go to Samaria instead of the longer route, which was the avoidance of Samaria. The point of this message is seeing beyond Samaria, seeing beyond the stigma, seeing beyond the things that people see in others in order to see the best that God has for them. John chapter 4, verse 6 goes on, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus was wearied as he journeyed from his journey and was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. I want to begin by saying that if you want to see the best in the power of one or the best in other people, you got to see beyond the situation you're in. Many times, the reason why we don't see beyond the present thing is because we're caught in our own, stuck in our own situation. In this particular case, Jesus was wearied. And I have to confess, in preparing this message, I can't even say once, multiple times I got convicted. Because many times I don't see the power in a situation because of my own situation. I don't see the power in a person because probably I'm busy, probably tired, probably wearied, probably a situation that I'm facing right now, a situation of lack is why I limit myself to the possibility and the power of one. In other words, my prayer is show me the truth in this situation. That in this particular situation, many times I find that the situations I find myself in are literally opportunities and open doors. Reminded of a story that my son was telling my wife about one of our grandsons, and he would hear his sister cry. And so what they would do was they would take him aside and say, "Why do you do that to your sister?" And the situation immediately had this idea that just because of this situation, that this child was actually bullying his sister. And so every time they would hear him, and then finally they caught him. I don't know if they caught him on a video. You know how parents these days have all these video cameras, right? In our days, it was all what you hear, right, and what you see. But they finally found out that the reality was that wasn't the situation. The situation was the older brother was actually sharing to the younger sister. But the younger sister had already figured out how it was to be cute, number one, and how to manipulate her parents. And so they finally caught her one day, and that in the midst of her crying, she could cry one moment and smile the next moment. Lord, help us to see the truth in a situation. Lord, help us not to have preconceived notions about life, and that because I'm weary, because I'm tired, because of the thing I see right now, that would be my posture and my belief rather than see an opportunity in a given situation. Verse 7 says, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Notice where it says that the woman came to draw water while Jesus himself was wearied and tired and needing a drink. Empathy comes when we find ourselves in situations we don't necessarily like. In fact, many times the empathy comes. I was out with a pastor from Bhutan yesterday, and this has been a busy week for me. I've been traveling. I was just trying to think about my trips this year. I was in Japan. I was in New York. I was in Jacksonville. I was in Orlando. I was in Jakarta last week. I'm flying to Surabaya next week. I'm going to be in Manila the following week. It's like this is a crazy year for me. Not something I planned, something that other people planned for me. But in the midst of that, this pastor was coming in from Medan, and he's on his way to Bhutan, which is really a very hard country to be in as a Christian. And I was telling myself that because I have to prepare a message last night, I'm going to give this man an hour, which lasted longer than that, I finally got home at about 10 in the evening, because there was an empathy. Because I understood how hard it was to travel and how hard it is. When we find ourselves in tough situations, rather than closing ourselves to opportunities, there are actually open opportunities for us to empathize with others. Are you following? And sometimes the reason why we don't see the power in a situation, really the truth of the matter is by the end of the evening, I was the one who was resuscitated and blessed by the man. Because given his situation, when I asked him, "How did you become a Christian in a nation that is predominantly non-Christian? How did you stand in the midst of all the trials and all the demonic and all these other stuff?" And the stories were fascinating. In fact, it got to the point where I said, "You're having lunch with me tomorrow, amen?" Because he was actually blessing me. And sometimes the opportunities that, or the situations we find in ourselves, the tough situations, are not seen as opportunities, rather than that's the way we should see them. Verse 9 says, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Basically, if you're going to see the power in a situation, a power in one, a power in a person, you've got to see beyond the stereotypes. And many times we have stereotypes. Color of someone's skin, the background, the degree, the job situation. We have all these notions of, and it limits us from believing what God can do because we've stuck in the stereotype. Maybe you're the receiver of the stereotype, and you got to go beyond that idea that people see you that way. Or maybe it's you that sees people that way. You got to get beyond that stereotype. Stereotypes, and then we'll see in a while, is how Jesus is going to overcome the situation of this woman. This woman had, it's not just color of skin or position. Sometimes it's rich or poor. And we've got stereotypes both for the rich and the poor. We see the rich as, you know, that guy's so atas, he doesn't have time for this. That guy is so materialistic, he doesn't have time for God. We read people based on our stereotypes. rather than allowing God to show us the reality and the truth of a person. And much of that really is because of the way we see ourselves and how we've stereotyped ourselves. And we stereotype not just the rich, we also stereotype the people who have less money. We are very capable of that. And worse, we stereotype people because of their religion. This guy will never accept the Lord because he's such and such. This guy shouldn't even spend time with because he's such and such. This guy is an atheist because he doesn't believe, or agnostic, or no matter what. We have these stereotypes. My prayer is, Lord, show me my faulty stereotypes. This was literally my prayer last night. As I got home and I started preparing this message, I called Pastor Rhea. I said, Rhea, what are you preaching? I said, can I just copy it? Amen? And she really helped me. And as I listened to her and started reading the Word, I started repenting. I hope you do too. Because whoever you are in this room, we have stereotypes. And they go from one section to the other. We read people. We treat people differently because of where they live and what they wear and the color of their skin and the way they talk. And we do that all the time. Rather than just being like Jesus, who saw beyond the stereotype, who saw beyond this woman from Samaritan, this half-breed, who you shouldn't have time for her, and actually made time for her. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying it to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Stereotypes, and God says, you know, if you own, the answer to your faulty stereotype is actually me. And then he goes on to say, sir, you have, she said, well, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. This well is too deep. Basically, what she's saying is, you can't do this. You don't even have the implement to do it. Sometimes, it's not just our situations, our stereotypes. It is our limitations. Then she goes on to say, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us a well that is drank from it himself. She's basically saying, you don't understand, you have shortcomings. And if you're going to see from the power of God, you're going to have to see beyond your shortcomings. You're going to have to see that God is well able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. Power of God is lost, and we don't see the power and ability of God in the lives of individuals and peoples, sons, daughters, children. I look at my own three sons, and there's a tendency to compare. This guy reads more, this guy reads less, this guy works harder, this guy is a little bit slightly lazier than the other guy. Stereotypes. Not just stereotypes, but shortcomings. And we begin to read people and limit them. And you know what the truth of the matter is? All of my three sons have been a blessing. Oldest son is a fantastic blessing of a son. My second son is equally amazing. And sometimes I would discount my younger son because he's very much like my wife, amen? He just loves fun. And you know, the funny part is two of my best investments in the last 5 years did not come from the first or the second, it came from the third. Because God has opportunities. Opportunities if we will go beyond the shortcomings of people. If we will go beyond reading people for our, because of our stereotypes, because of our current situation, because of the way we read stuff, we make mistakes. The truth of the matter is we see what we expect. When we set ourselves up for certain expectations about people and our stereotypes, and because we see people for their shortcomings, that's what you're going to see. We see what we expect. There's an interesting, and you've all heard this, in the 1930s, the Loch Ness Monster, amen? I mean, that, for those of you who are not aware, this is the Loch Ness Monster, apparently this monster. And so they did a test on all of these supposedly smart people from the university, put them all in the boat, and basically said that there were recent sightings of the Loch Ness Monster. In the meantime, they put a guy underwater with a 4x4 pole. And then every now and then, he would lift up the pole, and then he would put it down a few seconds. And lo and behold, after the meeting, after this gathering of all these supposedly smart people, and they started saying, did you see something? Everybody saw something, and everybody drew something that looked like this. Amen? Because you see what you expect. When you expect to see something bad, you're going to see something bad. When you expect to see limitations, you're going to see limitations. When you expect to see shortcomings of people, you're going to see it. When you expect to see, because a given situation you have in situation, you're going to see the way you... I was really convicted about this. Where we've set limits on God. It's powerful, the National Day celebration. Just watching this nurse talk about this patient who had AIDS and how hopeless he was and how she simply grabbed him and put his face to her chest and he began to weep. And immediately there was peace in his heart. It's powerful how when we see beyond the situation, when we see beyond the shortcomings, when we see beyond a person's realities and trust God, we see the power of one both in us as a caregiver and in the person that we're giving hope to. Verse 13 says, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Basically what he's saying is, if you live based on your current situations, if you live on your stereotypes and your shortcomings, guess what's going to happen? You're never going to get satisfied. You're always going to be thirsty. You're always going to live this life, and you're always going to try to fill this up, but it'll never get filled. You're always going to run up short, thirsty, unable to replenish yourself. Verse 14 says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling to eternal life. Basically, what he's saying is, if you trust me and go beyond your ideas, I can show you something that's unlimited, eternal, something that's powerful, something that's never ending, something that's encouraging, something that's a blessing, not just for you, but plenty more to give away to others. If you will, but get beyond your situation. Get beyond your stereotypes and get beyond your shortcomings. Verse 15 says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Now she's interested, amen? Now she wants it. Why? Jesus did not tell her the cost of the water. He showed her the value of the water. Sometimes as Christians, we keep telling people the cost of following Christ rather than seeing, showing them the value of following Christ. We're so good at telling people, this is your situation, this is your shortcoming, here is your problem, here's the reason why you don't have God, rather than showing them, hey, wait, God loves this person. But can you see beyond it? So give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, but I don't have to come here again. Watch what happens next. I just love Jesus. Don't you just love Jesus? He's so unreligious. First of all, his disciples couldn't stand the fact that he was talking to this woman because they were so imbued with stereotypes. They have all these religious issues. And verse, he says, go call your husband and ask him to come here. So he's setting her up because Jesus knows that there's something about this woman that actually she's, and later we're going to find out, she's had five husbands. See, it's not just going beyond the situation, the shortcomings and the realities of people. Go beyond the stigma. A stigma is a position of disgrace. A stigma is when somebody has been disgracefully disconnected to others. A guy who went to prison, a guy who has AIDS, a guy who got depressed, a guy who's suicidal, is someone who has a stigma. And if you go see beyond that, you just might save a life. You just might bless a life. You might actually help this person. And she said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right in saying you have no husband because you've had five husbands. Suicide is a stigma. And you've all probably read the news, right? That suicide in this nation is growing. And it's very easy to see the fault rather than be the solution. It's very easy to point the blame because this so-and-so. And every time I ride taxis here or grab drivers, at least not everybody, but at least 7 out of 10 will always have a complaint about their nation. And I'm thinking, scratching my head, thinking, what in the world are you talking about? When was the last time you got out of your nation? We turn life into statistics, stigmas, rather than realizing that God has power beyond this, if we will go beyond it. Verse 18 says, "For you have had five husbands, and the one that you now have is not even your husband." So what you have said is true, and Jesus is now getting way into her life, digging deep into the reality of life. By the way, if you want to get dig deep into people's lives, sometimes we try to make people like Jesus. The key is not to get people to like Jesus. The key is to make people like you. Amen? Because if they're going to like Jesus, they're going to not see Jesus first. They're going to have to see you first. And liking you is not about how cute you are. Amen? Has nothing to do with it. You might actually not be liked because you're too cute. Liking you is when you go beyond the situation. When you go beyond the stigma, a person's shortcomings, a person's failures, and that you're willing to still engage them despite all of that. Jesus did not just go through beyond all of this, he went beyond the sinner. He knew that this woman had issues, situations, stereotypes, shortcomings. And she knew that she had a stigma. And he knew that she was a sinner. But Jesus knew one thing very clearly. Every saint has a past. There's not one that hasn't one. I have a past, a very colorful one. And every sinner has a future. That's one thing he did know. That if I would engage this lady long enough, I could turn the situation. I could turn the stigma, I could turn the shame, I could turn away all of these other things if I just look beyond that current situation. Verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." She's now basically saying, "I can see that you see me." And that's really your prayer. That was the verse that convicted me last night. God, you see through all the trimmings, all the facade. God, show me my real situation here. Show me my wrong stereotypes. Show me my own sins. Show me my own issues. Because the only way, really, at the end of the day, our problem is our self, if you wanted to add another S. That's really the problem here. We read people differently because we have our own situations. We have our own shortcomings. We have our own stigmas. We have our own issues. Verse 20 says, "Our fathers worship in this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem, the place where," basically she goes religious on him, probably in shame. "Woman, believe me," and Jesus corrects her and says, "Believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." But the hour is coming and is now here. And basically he's making her theology correct. It's not a mountain, it's not a place, it's not a religion, it's not your practices. Is the Father seeking those who worship him in truth, who genuinely love him? Doesn't matter what your stereotype is, doesn't matter what your limitations are, doesn't matter what your shortcomings are, if you genuinely love God, it doesn't matter what your place you belong to, doesn't matter what your pedigree is, it doesn't matter what your past is, it's all about this idea of loving God for who he is. Because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in his spirit, in spirit and in truth. Verse 25 goes on to say, "The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. To this Jesus said, I who speak to you am he." To see beyond the situation, beyond the stereotypes, beyond the shortcomings, beyond the stigma, beyond the sinner, you need to see the Savior. Because every time you see the Savior, you're going to see beyond that in your life, in your own life, and in the lives of others. Just then, verse 27, the disciples came back and they marveled. They were actually stunned that he was talking to this woman. They couldn't believe. Why would you spend time with that person? Because they had their own issues. They had their own narrow view that they couldn't see past the woman's issues. The woman, in the meantime, left and went to town and started telling people about Jesus. That's what happens, by the way, when people are saved and our people are delivered from their issues. They went out in the town and they were coming to him. When you see beyond the single person, you see an avalanche of people. Many Samaritans believed him. The power of one. Power of one person and the power of one person who sees beyond the one person. But when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And they stayed. He stayed for 2 days, and many who believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." Amen? Do you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? I told you earlier how convicted I was about this message. And I want to ask you to just be still before the Lord right now. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And my prayer is that the Lord will show, I ask you that your prayer should be, "Lord, show me. Show me my real situation. Show me, God, my own issues, my own shortcomings, my stereotypes. Show me, God, my stigmas in my life, Lord, that I've avoided or tried to cover up. And Lord, show me sins that I still am walking in, God. I'm asking you because, Lord, it is when you show me that I can see clearly the hope in others because I see the hope in me. And as I see this, God, I know that I will see you, that you are my Savior, and because you are my Savior, then you're able to save others as well." And if you're here this morning, and just as every eye is closed and every head is bowed, and you're just saying, "God, that's my prayer. Show me that I may see beyond the present situation of a person. Show me that you are my Savior and their Savior, that I may be willingly go out and reach out to them, this truth, this gospel." If that's your heart this morning, would you just, in light of just faith, just lift up your hands towards Jesus this morning. "God, that's me. I want to acknowledge, Lord, my own situation, my own stereotypes, my own shortcomings, my own stigmas, God, and my own sins. Open my eyes to see my Savior over and over and over and over again. That as I open my eyes, I will see the potential and the power in others. The one that's in front of me. The one at work. The one in my home. The one in my family. The people around me. In Jesus' name I pray." And everyone said, "Amen and amen."
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.